joined on the Subway Restaurants Fresh Take Hotline, one of the greatest wide receivers ever to play in the NFL. He is number four in all-time receptions and all-time touchdowns receiving. Chris Carter, good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're fantastic. What a pleasure to chat with you. We've caught wind that you're coming to town. You're going to be speaking at the Jewish Community Center later in May. What the heck's going on in Calgary? Have you been up here before?
Never been up there before. Do like Canada. I do have my son that's playing for the Alouettes. So I have been to a number of places in Canada. And this will be my first time to Calgary. Just coming there on behalf of an organization, telling my story, how athletics and how it's ventured off into business, and, you know, some of the principles I believe that you have to are very, very important to being successful, not only on the field but off the field.
Certainly no lack of success in your career. The footnote's phenomenal on your career, a 2013 inductee to the Football Hall of Fame. And when I think of you and when I heard you were coming, I could think of nothing else but dragging toes in the corner of the end zone, catching touchdown passes in Minnesota. Is that sort of what you get asked about the most when you're spotted around public?
That's one of the things that people like, either the sideline catches, the touchdown catches, or the one-handed catches. Those are the things that people, but they're, you know, they're just like anything else. They're just fundamentals. And I did have a great gift to catch the ball and an unbelievable inner sense of how wide, how much I had to dive, how much room I had. So I tried to take advantage of it once I realized that I had that.
We're chatting with Chris Carter, who's going to be in Calgary at the Jewish Community Center on May 29th. You can get more information online at calgaryjcc.com/sports-dinner. Chris, tell us about that offense you had in Minnesota at the Metrodome with Randy Moss coming up and what you saw in a youngster that was taken very late in the first round due to some questions about maybe some off-the-field antics or maybe focus on the game.
Well, I think it's a lot with the anticipation of Jadeveon Clowney coming into the NFL, too. Some of the things people were saying that he can't do, that he took some plays off. I think Randy, had that stigma, and even greater, because he had been in several schools before he arrived in the NFL, finally from Marshall. But, put in the right environment, and he was a hard worker. You really couldn't see it. He was always trying to... And showing him how to be a pro. So, that was one of the exciting things about 98, was working with Randy Moss, seeing his talent come to fruition, then him become one of the greatest receivers of all time. And, not to mention, we had three offensive linemen that were Pro Bowlers. We had Robert Smith that was a Pro Bowl running back at that time, very, very explosive. We could score from anywhere on the field. And then also we had another receiver named Jake Reed. Him and I had several thousand-yard seasons back-to-back-to-back-to-back before Randy Moss came to Minnesota. So it was a lot of good things coming together at one time.
And I remember that coming to an end. I believe it was against Atlanta in the NFC Championship game. And was it Morton Anderson who hadn't – or Gary Anderson who hadn't missed a kick all year? And all of a sudden, what? He missed?
Yeah, he missed a 39-yarder late in the game. That would have put it up by 10. So Atlanta was able to come down – for a late touchdown, game went into overtime. It was an epic game. Unfortunately for the Vikings, we weren't able to win it and go on to the Super Bowl.
So I'm reading on Wikipedia, and Wikipedia, they never lies, right? You're living in Boca Raton. Now, I know you're retired, but I lived in Boca Raton when I played for the Florida Panthers. That is old. What? You're not that old. What are you doing hanging out there?
Well, I've actually lived in the same house I'm sitting in right now. For 22 years, and this is where I came to get my life together. This is where I came to work out silently, and this is where I built all the things about my life. I did it right here in Boca. It's nice and quiet. It's a good place to raise a family. You don't hear a lot of bad news about professional athletes and everything. So sometimes athletes, instead of looking for all the limelight, they need to find a nice little place where they can call home. And I call that home to be Boca Raton. So I don't think it's old. I think it's very vibrant. I live here, so I think that when you visit, and I think people get a different vibe about Boca. But Boca's very different. Great community, glad to be a part of it, and plan to be a part of it. until Jesus calls me home.
Hey, have you ever been to the Whale's Rib in Pompano Beach?
No. I am very familiar with that area, though, and I have seen the restaurant.
Because we a lot of the guys, when I played for the Panthers, we lived in that area, so we used to go down there to hang around the beach and play beach volleyball and stuff. That's where we'd grab a bite to eat. Played in Philly, Minnesota, obviously kind of a little bit in Miami. When I played, Philly was such a great sports town. I mean, your career was more highlighted in Minnesota, but what are your thoughts on the different cities? Did you like playing in Philly? Was Minnesota a better place for you?
Well, it's there's no comparison. I spent most of my career, 12 years in Minnesota. And, when you evolve as a football player and you develop great relationships inside the organization, Philadelphia did give me my chance with Buddy Ryan drafting me out of Ohio State. So you always have a fondness to them, but, the business side of things take you in different directions. So, all the love that I have for the football fans mostly is directed towards the Minnesota Vikings fans and the 12 years that I've spent playing for them.
Chris, just a thought on your son who's playing in the CFL. It didn't come in with a lot of acclaim, but boy, he put together a really fantastic 2013 season last year with the Alouettes, and I wonder how much you get to catch him on the tube.
I see every game. I've probably been to Canada to 4 or 5 games last year, a couple preseason games. So, I see him quite often. We're excited about him. We're excited that he's had a great offseason. Just finished up a mini camp with the team in Vero Beach. The team's excited. They're really talented. Got a great receiving core. Troy Smith's going to be their quarterback. New coaching staff. Just signed Chad Johnson, too, last week. So, there's a lot of exciting things going on in Montreal. So I look for a big season from him. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
It's pretty neat. I mean, if you think about that offense you were in 1998 with Moss and you mentioned Robert Smith and the other Pro Bowlers, that's probably as close as you'd get to a CFL-style game because the points just keep going up in this thing with three downs. You got to throw it more, and the clock just doesn't stop. What's your take on the three-down game?
The three-down game is good. I like it. It's easy to follow. A lot of the rules are very, very similar to American football, so It's not a tremendous learning curve. You got to learn the waggles as far as the receivers, and they play some different coverages because they really try to put a lot of pressure on the quarterback and have an extra guy on the field, and then also with the not necessarily the most elite of arm strength on the quarterbacks. A lot of the field is negated because the quarterback can't get the ball to the field, to the open side of the field. So you see defenses try to take away the middle and the boundary side a lot in the CFL compared to an NFL. They have 20 quarterbacks that can throw the ball from sideline to sideline. That's probably the biggest difference.
Just a thought, we're chatting with Chris Carter, the Hall of Famer and one of the most prolific wide receivers in NFL history. The transition in your playing career, you went and you had one last sort of swan song in Miami. That point of your career, you start thinking about maybe what you're going to do when you're not catching balls for a living. You've looked fantastic as an analyst on TV, done a great job there. How tough or how different is that part of your life as a pro athlete where you start phasing out of playing a sport and into being a businessman?
Well, it depends on the athlete. It depends on their interest. It also depends on money. Financially, I try to tell guys that there's only less than 5% of the athletic population, and when they get done, they have enough money that they can retire. Now, a lot of guys talk a lot of big talk, and they try to act like they have a lot of money, but the reality of it is they're going to have to really get another profession. And The group that I work with, Impact Sports, they have prepared me. I had done radio shows. I had done voiceovers. I had gone over to NFL Europe to broadcast. I had volunteered on my bye week to go into ESPN, to work with HBO at the Super Bowls. I volunteered. I did my own radio shows. I had a voice coach. So I had a lot of things that, the reason why I quit playing wasn't because I couldn't play. It's because I had an unbelievable job with HBO they offered me. And I could see my broadcasting career taking off, and they signed me to a long-term contract. So, I was prepared for it. So it depends on the player, and I don't really think it's fair that an athlete should be prepared for a second career when he's already the elite of the elite. I don't care what sport he makes it to professionally. And we've asked him to master a sport, And then now we ask them to make this quick transition. So I think some of the things, and I anticipate a lot of bumps because that's a very tough transition for people to make.
Working with ESPN on that desk, what's that like? Because everyone tunes in Sunday morning. We watch the shows. We see you guys between the games at halftime. But that's a one-take, hot environment where you've got to be on your toes. I wonder if you draw on your playing background, because that's not a normal workplace either. It's not as if you've gone from being a football player to an accountant.
No, it's tremendous. But we have great people that work around. We have great resources. We have access to great information. And we have people that really take a lot of pride in what they do, you know, not only what they wear, but how they look, what they're going to sound like. So, you know, our sessions, we try to make them live. Now, we will know the question, but we try not to know the content of what the other people are going to say because we don't want to take away the natural reaction. You know, so we know the subject and we know how long we can talk about it, and we might know who's going to start it. But it's really natural. It's really like four or five guys sitting around a bar, man. And we know the control of the segment being the time, and we know we got to get it back to boom, you know, for him to say something and toss to the next segment or go to a commercial. So, you know, that side of the structure you have to know. It's just like any other job. And then now you got teammates you're trying to work with. And, it, you know, in this business, it doesn't do any good to make your teammates look bad. So you have to be conscious of their strengths and their weaknesses so when you do have the ball and you give it to them that they can do something with it. So I think that's why we have one of the premier shows. That's the kind of things that we think about. But it's pretty much like the first time you hear it is the first time that we've said.
It's pretty cool. We really appreciate you sharing some time with us this morning, Chris. We can't wait till you're in town. Thursday, May 29th, again at the Jewish Community Center. Tickets available now, 403-253-8600, extension 0. We hope you enjoy Calgary, and take a look at that CFL schedule. Maybe you come back when your son passes through with the Owls, because it's a great atmosphere.
I might have to do that.
Thanks so much for your time today.
All right, take care, guys.
That is the Hall of Famer, Chris Carter.